this morning for Lord's Day.
Good crowd present. Feels like spring outside, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Little boy comes up to the preacher after service, as we do here, and he had something in his hand. And he held up the preacher and he said, I got something I want to give you. And the preacher held out his hand. Little boy opened his hand and it just had a handful of coins. You know, nickels, dimes, quarters, stuff like that. And he said, well, son, he said, what's that for? He said, it's for you. He said, well, how come? He says, my dad says you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard. Okay. So a lot of our time we spend in assembly is spent listening to preachers and preaching. But you know, in about 25 years of preaching, I don't know that I've ever done a sermon on preaching. And so we're going to spend some time this morning looking at how preaching relates to part of being church and sort of our mutual experience with that. And somewhat of Scripture has to tell us about preaching in itself. So John and I have been looking at a book from John Stott, and he'd been a pastor in a church for many years. And he really sort of challenged some of my thinking about some things, and I think John as well. And it's been a profitable time we spent together. We have a few more lessons we're going to be doing from the book. But he talks about authentic biblical preaching is really filled with irony and paradox. So when you think about it, preaching is both simple and complex. It's simple basically because the message, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, for if I preach the gospel, nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Really, as a preacher, the easiest thing we have to share, the greatest thing we have to share, is the gospel in itself. It's something that is pretty simple. But yet very often we sometimes fall away from preaching the gospel. Sometimes we preach other things that are not quite as relevant and as important as the gospel. It may seem relevant for the times, but not always for the kingdom's sake. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've been preached to you, let him be accursed. So what's the primary message of a preacher? The gospel. What's the gospel, church? So every lesson that you hear should relate back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that that's what preachers are called by God to do, is to preach the gospel. And everything that you hear should relate back to that message. So we're looking at some things about that paradox, the irony, if you will, of authentic biblical preaching. It is biblical, but it's also somewhat contemporary. When the words were penned 2,000 years ago, there's a lot of things that the Christians then didn't deal with that we deal with today. And vice versa, there's things that we don't have to worry about that they dealt with on a regular basis. So somehow we need to understand that we need to preach the gospel in the context of our real world experiences. Paul gave advice to a young preacher named Timothy. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So you've got to be ready with the gospel. You've got to be ready with the word for the purpose of helping modify and shape hearts, minds, and souls for the kingdom of God. All in light of proclaiming the gospel. Authentic biblical preaching relates ancient text in modern context. Now, I grew up in a pretty traditional church. In fact, the King James Version was probably the authorized version. We didn't read anything else. And many of us grew up that way. We read the King James. And then there's a beauty in it. There's a language in it. It's great. It's wonderful. And if that's what you're shaped and trained your mind to read and understand, go for it. I have a lot of folks that listen, you know, I don't understand it. I've had people say, you know, I can read the Bible and don't get anything out of it. And that bothers me. Sometimes I say, well, what translation are you using? And they says, well, the King James. And I says, how often do you read Shakespeare? I says, never read Shakespeare. And I said, do you realize the King James translation is translated in the same English as Shakespearean English? That may be why you have a hard time being able to appreciate it and comprehend it. 1611. We don't speak in these and thous and thuses anymore, do we? So we also have to understand that how the Bible relates, the gospel's message is for all, we sung, but we also understand the gospel message relates to every time. And we have to understand the biblical text as it sits, but also as it relates to current culture. There are things that we deal with today that the Bible still speaks the truths about. And we have is preaching to get to those biblical truths. Biblical preaching is authoritative and tentative. It's authoritative because it preaches God's word, but also we have to understand there's something else going on. Paul says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they heap up for themselves teachers, and when they turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Underline that last part to help you understand that we as people are fallible. We all are. We all have our inherent blind spots. We all have our inherent weaknesses. And sometimes we just want to hear what we want to hear. And that's why Paul says, Timothy, be ready. Be ready to share the word. I get a little exercise in what you do with me. A little exercise about preaching. What do you think that says? Say it. Ice cream is good, doesn't it? That's following from John's sermon, right? You know, soft serve ice cream is the best image in the world, right? You think it says ice cream is good? How many think it says ice cream is good? Not everybody, right? As humans, the way we're designed, that we try to fill in with what's not there or what we think is there. Our minds do that way. We can be deceived. That's why Paul told Timothy, be ready, be prepared, because people can be deceived. How many of you remember the football game that used to play, fold the paper up and do the football game? Remember that? You're making the goalpost? Do it? You're going to do it. Everybody do it. Now, if you'll put that goalpost in front of your eyes and look at the opposite wall, a Vianney sausage will appear between your two fingers. Go do it. Do it. See it? Let me see it. And don't look at your fingers, look at the wall. And a Vianney sausage will appear right about there. Do it. So what'd you learn at church? We found a Vianney sausage. Our minds can be tricked. Human wisdom is not God's wisdom. Our minds can be deceived. So how many think this is ice cream is good? Doesn't say anything. See? So preaching is authoritative. It is the word of God. But in our eyes, in our minds, we can be doing but funny things with it. We can use God's word to deceive ourselves if we're not fully informed. Because what we want, and y'all probably want some ice cream now, don't you? Is what Paul says that Timothy, got to be ready, because sometimes people, they just want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear what makes them comfortable or makes them feel good. So it's authoritative, but it's also tentative. The word of God is infallible, but it's taught to fallible people and it's preached by fallible people. The word of God is infallible, but fallible people hear it, and sometimes fallible people preach it. So we all have a responsibility to be grounded in the Word and to hold the person, whoever it is preaching, to be accountable to that Word. And to be in the Word ourselves. And to understand that there's something that happens sometimes in the transmission of the Word, it gets off. Authentical biblical preaching is prophetic and pastoral. Jesus sort of talking about prophecies, not always about predicting things, but sometimes telling the truth. Jesus went about preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he told the disciples, as you go, tell them when the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But there should be some urgency in the message. I think we get complacent about that. I think that we're not really always mindful as that the Lord could come at any moment. There's nothing returning, preventing the Lord's return. There's nothing. He's not waiting for anything. And only God knows. But when God knows, He will send His Son to us to convict us and to reclaim us and to redeem us. Thank you. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And when Philip, as he preached concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So, preaching is an action that should lead to other action. As they preached the gospel, what happened? People were baptized. In essence, the goal of preaching is to help people make a decision for the Lord. Now, sometimes as preachers, it's really tempting because we get in our studies or we get something on our mind and we get sometimes down rabbit holes. But the ultimate goal of preaching is prophetic. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's also pastoral. We care for the souls of other people. The objective and goal is to help people make a decision for the Lord. It combines faithfulness and gentleness with a divine purpose. I remember a few years ago, Sean Flatt was preaching for us one time, and he told the story of a guy that was talking about that their church, they were looking for a preacher. You know, and so they were trying some out, and so a friend came to work and said that they had tried out a preacher, and they said, well, what did he preach on? And he said, well, he preached on hell and how if we're not changing our ways, we're going to all probably go there, you know, and he preached a pretty powerful sermon. Well, and they said, are they going to hire me? So I don't think so. And so a few weeks later, another preacher tried out, and they said, what did he preach on? He says, well, he basically preached on hell, and if we don't straighten our way, well, that's where we're going to go. And they says, well, are they going to hire him? He says, yeah. And he said, isn't that the same thing the other guy preached on? He says, yeah, it was. So why are they hiring this guy over the other guy? He says, well, the first guy didn't seem like it bothered. This guy seemed like it bothered, in fact, that we're all going to go to hell. So we must understand that preaching has its place with faithfulness, but also gentleness. Some of us grew up on pretty standard diets of hellfire and brimstone sermons. Anyone remember those? We've not heard one of those kind of sermons in a long time, have we? I don't preach them very well. But you know what? If my only goal is to scare you into being better, that doesn't last very long. You can scare the meanness out of somebody, almost anybody, for a little while. Okay? How many, don't lie, we're in church. How many of you had a speeding ticket? How many of you still speed? Okay, that's what I thought. You see, we'll straighten up for a little while, I can scare you into slowing down for about 30 days, and that's about the length most fear will last. About 30 days and you're out of it. So biblical preaching talks about faithfulness, but also with some gentleness. Fear doesn't change you very long. But if I could preach the gospel in a way that makes you fall in love with Jesus more and more and more and more, that kind of love transforms. Amen? When I love Jesus so much that what he wants and what he loves is what I love, guess what? I'm transformed. The Spirit is effectively working in my life. John says, where there is perfect love, there is no fear. And so authentic biblical preaching combines faithfulness with gentleness for a divine purpose. Authentic biblical preaching is gifted and studied. I'll be real honest, this was the part of the book that I had a hard time with. And John, he talked about the chapter, and he thought it was a good chapter. I don't know that I've got the gift of preaching. Now, some of you will say, I know what he's talking about. Because I remember how when he started out. Yeah, I got a couple of amens back there. Okay, yeah. I think you love me into being a preacher. I don't think I've got that gift. When we have, you know, these young men come along, I mean, they've got the gift. I think you love me into it. And so I don't know that everyone's sort of called in a very strong sense, but I do think some people have abilities. But I have to also say that Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this. The way we said that not everyone's an evangelist, but listen, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. We have people who have certain gifts within the kingdom. And they're given there for the kingdom's sake. So there is some giftedness perhaps in this. But there's also some diligence, some hard work. Paul told Timothy, again, to the young preacher, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study. You got to love studying. You got to be willing to read. You got to be willing to support and encourage that, because it's a really big challenge. It requires a divine gift. Yes, maybe God calls you with some abilities, but it also requires some kind of self-discipline to do it as well. Larry Mathis, several years ago, Sean was at his son Sean was a Willow youth minister, and then Larry, his dad, I can't remember where he was preaching at then. But some of you remember, we had them do a father-son gospel meeting. This was way back. Okay, Larry would preach one night, and Sean would preach one night. And I had a chance to spend some time with him. Larry had actually preached at a house church in South Carolina when my brother Steve went. When my brother Steve and his family first moved to South Carolina, the Church of Christ met in a house. And Larry was the preacher there. And they just had a little house. Now they got a nice building like we have, and you know everything. But back then, several years ago, it was just you know, Tammy, I think we went a time or two with him, and there's 18, 20 people meeting in a house. And that's how the church got started over there. But Larry, he's an impressive guy. He's very studious. He was the one. He said churches should never have offices for ministers. He said just drives him crazy to go to church and says office for minister. He said that should say study, because that's what he should be doing, studying. And Larry was the guy who said that several years into preaching, he went to his file cabinet and pulled out every sermon he had ever written. That's back when everybody wrote their sermons and had them typed up. He took out every sermon he'd ever written, put them in a pile in the yard, poured gasoline on them, and burned every one of them. Every sermon he'd ever preached. He said because he found himself getting lazy. He said, it was too easy sometimes, too tempting. He says, well, I don't feel like studying this, but let me go back and do that sermon. They won't remember it. And you remember about 10% of anything. They won't remember it. And he says, I found myself getting lazy. And he says, I burned every one. So when Paul tells Timothy to study to show yourself approved to God, I mean, there's, and that's for all of us, but particularly for those who work in ministry, those who preach. You've got to be in the Word. And and thinking on it and relating to it and helping others to relate to it as well. Authentic biblical preaching should be thoughtful and passionate. Acts chapter 28 talks about Paul spending 2 years with the church. 2 whole years. What did he do? He's preaching about the kingdom of God being in hand. It says that, right? He's preaching the kingdom of God and who else? The Lord Jesus Christ. With confidence. He had some conviction about what he was preaching. So there must be some degree of passion in the proclamation of God's word. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, Paul sort of talks about the contrast nature of God. He said, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue his goodness, God will otherwise also cut you off. You know, if you tell people what they want to hear and give them what they want and sort of tell them, you know, if they'll do everything just right and they give just right, that God's going to bless them. And everything's going to be just hunky-dory in their life. People like to hear that message. People don't want to hear that, you know, well, you know, God is good, but God is also severe. That God really accounts us and calls us to a certain amount of accountability in our lives. We're accountable to Him, and we're also accountable to one another. And we must strive to walk the life that Christ walked as our ultimate pattern. And to encourage one another in this walk. Authentic biblical preaching lets the heart burn as Christ opens to us the Scripture. The Word of God is designed and intent to produce something. It's not really just a philosophy, as some people want to approach it. It's not just, you know, just history, as maybe others want to look at it, but it's designed to produce fruit in our lives. Now, God put His Spirit within us. And as we've been studying, John's class on Wednesday night, the Spirit is not the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit uses in combat to produce an effect, to help us become molded into the image of Christ, to help protect us when we're assaulted with the evils of this world. The Word of God is how we can approach our temptations in life, as Jesus modeled Himself in the wilderness. When He was tempted, what did He go to? The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every time that Jesus was confronted, He would go back to the truth of Scripture to deal with Himself. And it should be transformative in our lives. Authentic biblical preaching lets the heart burn as Christ opens to us the Scriptures. So preaching is ultimately a partnership between a person called to service and the body of Christ. It's a partnership. We mutually encourage one another. We work together for the good of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, Paul says, even as the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel should live according from the gospel. And so we sort of have an interesting model here at Netherland that's not in every church. We have bivocational ministers. I work John works. Ross will soon be starting another job. So that's how we design it here. And very much there's somewhat of like a New Testament pattern in that. Paul was a tent maker. He made tents. You know, Peter was a fisherman. He fished. So we're sort of looking at the reality of as we go about the world, that we are also experiencing the world, that we're not some group that sort of apart from the day-to-day experiences of life. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. This interesting passage. How then they should call on him who they've not believed? How should they believe in him who they've not heard? And how should they hear without preacher? Paul said, this is the way the gospel works. People who don't believe need to be taught. You know, taught by means of preacher. And the verse goes on. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? That partnership between the body of Christ and those who are called to preach. And this is one of the interesting statements in Scripture. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, Tammy doesn't think I have pretty feet. But the gospel says I do. And have you seen what size shoe John wears? It's a 14, right? He's got some honking feet. And I don't know what Ross's looks like. Yeah. But the Bible says that those who preach the word have beautiful feet. But it's a partnership between the body of Christ and those who proclaim the word. I don't know what you heard this morning and what you're going to take with you. All you remember is ice cream is good. I don't know. But I want you to know that as a minister and preacher of the gospel, you are part of the most important thing you can ever be a part of. Within the body of Christ, for you to support, encourage preaching, and listening to preaching is indeed one of the most important things that you'll ever have to be a part of. There's no sport team you can cheer on. There's no hobby that you can pursue. There's no interest that you can spend your time on. There's really nothing that's more important in this world than the message of the gospel, right? And your support and encouragement of that message is critically important. I'm going to end with another story. An old man had attended his church his entire life. He was bent and somewhat broken with age. His eyesight was dim. His hearing about gone. And he was feeble. But every time the doors of the church were opened, he was there. One day a fellow member asked him, "Brother so-and-so, I've observed you're the most faithful person probably at this church." And he says, "And I know you can't hardly hear thunder, and you can't see, and you can't get too much out of it. So why in the world do you come all the time?" He said, "Well, to tell you the truth," he says, "I just want everyone to know which side I'm on. And sometimes your presence is the biggest support that you can offer the preacher. Encouragement." Now, we're talking about what we can do to help build Sunday night services up and other assemblies, because it's sad on Sunday night sometimes. And you work just as hard on the sermon for Sunday night as you do for Sunday morning. In fact, I work harder. But when there's no one there to support you and listen to you, you wonder, how effective am I really being? And your support and encouragement to one another in that is critically important. But also, as I said, preaching is a partnership. Sometimes, I don't know how John or Ross about it, but if you have an idea, maybe we need a sermon on this. Maybe we need that. I don't mind a bit to have those suggestions. But the encouragement that we can give to one another and to our preachers is critically important. Brother Steve's going to lead us in a song of meditation right now. If your subject, the gospel is what you need to hear today, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you heard that in it too. But we can assist you this day. Once you come to stand and sing the song selected.